Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, September 2nd, 2011. I'm Tom Collier. I'm in for Bill Buckmaster, who's taking some well-deserved vacation time. He was going to Newfoundland in eastern Canada, but a woman named Irene decided that he should go to Banff instead, so he's enjoying the Rockies. Thank you for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on KBOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and the Voice Network with our simulcast partners in Douglas at 9:30 a.m. on KAPR and in Globe on KJAA AM 1240. And we are always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where our shows are archived for 24/7 listening. And also, thanks to our new partnership with the online news service TucsonSentinel.com. Our shows are available anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. Well, Fridays on the Buckmaster Show begin with Friday Focus, featuring a newsmaker interview, and then at the bottom of the hour, it's the Friday Reporters Roundtable, and we'll close out the show with a weekend watch with Matt Russell, the culinary cruiser, who'll have some ideas about how you can spend your weekend. And we've got a holiday weekend coming up, so there's lots of time to be spent. Today's Friday Focus newsmaker is the CEO and Executive Director of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Bill Carnegie. And joining me to question Mr. Carnegie is Jimmy Bogle, who is the editor of Tucson Weekly, must-read newspaper.
Why, thank you, sir.
We welcome you to join us in the conversation, too, on the Buckmaster Show. You can call in on our live line at 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America at 1-866-725-5467. And the Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. And you can find out more at splendidoaz.net. Mr. Carnegie, welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
What is it like now running the food bank?
Well, it's like a major business here in Southern Arizona. And actually, food banks across the country are busier than what we've ever been. Over the last 4 years, we've seen over 100% increase in demand. Our organization has grown to meet that. We don't really see it changing anytime in the near future. Our business won't really change until people go back to work, and that's really driven by the economy.
Which we hadn't. If you heard the news, it's not very good.
No.
What's the strategic plan then for the food bank if things don't change or if things actually get worse?
Well, a couple of years ago, we were at capacity with the number of food boxes we could produce, and we were providing families two of those boxes a month. We had to cut back to one. We're almost there again. We're at about 28,000 food boxes a month. We use volunteers to build those boxes, and thank goodness for the people over at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, because they come in almost every Saturday and help us build these boxes. But it's we're looking at potentially adding an evening shift maybe so we can get more volunteers in to help with those boxes. We've never run out of food in our 35-year history, and we won't now. So we'll continue to do what we have to do to meet the demand.
And it's trending in the wrong direction, you said. I mean, we just heard that jobs report, 9.1% unemployment still. And we've reported before that the food bank's kind of a bellwether on the economy, and it's not going in the right direction, is it?
No, Jimmy, it's really not. And, it's a continuing trend. Every month we're still seeing double-digit increases. We were hopeful, at the end of last year that there was all kinds of optimism about the economy turning around. And all we've seen is increased numbers. At the food bank this morning, there was a line outside our door, probably
Wow.
between 250 and 300 people waiting to get a box of food, waiting for our doors to open.
What I've heard you say is you've had double the request, but you've had to cut your responses in half. Is that accurate?
It is. We went from providing two food boxes a month to one. People can come back during the month to receive some supplemental assistance, but we really had to cut that. And what we've done is we've tried to beef up some of our partner agencies. We're partnered with about 300 other nonprofits out there that do supplemental food boxes. So we're doing a lot of referrals.
And can you kind of put that into context? When you say a food box, what exactly do you mean? What is in a food box?
Well, it's actually it's a mix of food that we get from the government under the USDA Commodities Program, food that we purchase, and also food that's donated by people locally or businesses. But we focus on it, healthy food box, because we don't want to be part of the obesity or diabetes problem, especially here in southern Arizona. So we look at the food pyramid, which is now called the food plate, or you know whatever it is today. But we provide about a 2 to 3 day supply of food, depending on the size of the family. And again, it's focused on nutritional basis.
Our guest is the CEO and Executive Director of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Bill Carnegie. Bill, September is Food Action Month, or Hunger Action Month,
yes.
You have any plans for that, to ask people to help you out, observe it one way or the other?
On our website, we've actually got a calendar. It's called 30 Ways in 30 Days. So we're really asking the public to go to our website, to look at that calendar, and take some action this month in the fight against hunger here locally. Right now, we're assisting over 230,000 men, women, and children in southern Arizona, and we really need the community to get behind this hunger problem.
That's an astonishing number. I mean, to put that in perspective. Now, granted, this goes beyond just the Tucson metro area. You're in southern Arizona. And in fact, you changed the name recently, correct?
Yes.
But there's a million people in metro Tucson. That's almost a quarter of Tucson, you know, if you were to kind of compare them. That's a stunning number.
Right. And we're actually not serving everyone that's eligible. There's a lot of people that live in rural southern Arizona that don't really have the means to get to where one of our distribution sites is. So it's the number is actually closer to probably around 300,000 wow. plus that are eligible for our programs that for some reason or other don't take advantage of us.
You know, it seems like every time I've gone to just a backyard barbecue or a party or an event, there's always a box out front somewhere for you to leave a can of food, or they're asking for you before you come to the party or come to the event to bring a donation to the food mm-hmm. bank. And obviously you want non-perishable items.
Certainly.
That seems to be a good thing. But there's another opportunity. I can go to the grocery store and buy, you know, 3 cans of green beans for a dollar on sale. I can give you those 3 cans of green beans, or I can give you the dollar. The word isn't preferable, but which can you do more with?
Well, actually, Tom, we'd like to see both. You know, we don't ever want to discourage.
The beans and the dollar.
Right, right. We don't ever want to discourage someone from, especially taking their family to the store to, you know, pick canned goods or boxed items, you know, right off the shelf that they know are going to go to a local family. Everything that we raise here in southern Arizona stays here in southern Arizona. So you can trust that jar of peanut butter or the box of cereal that you donate is going to a local family in need. With that dollar, though, you know, we, because of our efficiencies, we can distribute $10.50 worth of food for that $1.
Wow.
So
That's stretching it.
It is stretching it. Both ways, the can or the dollar, go a long way. And we're able to do our efficiencies because every day we're offered truckloads of donated food. It might be a truckload of green beans sitting over in Los Angeles or something where the – you know, if we had to buy that, it would probably be, $60,000-$70,000, where all we have to do is pay the transportation to get it to Tucson. It's a great economy of scale. It's nice that we can say those numbers, but I wish we didn't have to. I wish hunger was not such a problem here in southern Arizona.
Let's talk about a little bit of something more uplifting, because this has been kind of a depressing conversation so far. Looking over the Hunger Action Month calendar, one of the highlights, it looks like, is on the 23rd, the dedication of the Gabrielle Giffords Family Assistance Center. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Shortly after the people were shot on January 8th, Mark Kelly came out and, you know, because there was this great outpouring of people wanted to do something. And he said, well, if you want to do something, you know, one of Gabby's favorite charities is the Community Food Bank. The other one's the American Red Cross. It took us about 15 minutes to get a donate now button up on our website. And, you know, people really responded to that. We brought in almost $200,000, most of that in the first 14 days after the shooting. But we wanted to do something responsible with those funds. You know, if we went out and we could spend it on 2 truckloads of peanut butter, it would be gone. So we wanted to do something lasting. And we had been talking for years about, you know, kind of consolidating some of our programs and putting them in an area downstairs in the warehouse where all of our clients come in. Previous to this, the Giffords Center, people would have to go at different places in our building to access food stamp assistance or family advocacy or, you know, just just to get referrals. And a lot of people are elderly, you know, didn't want to. We live in we're based in a very kind of confusing building, lots of hallways and offices everywhere. So it was kind of intimidating for people. This center allows us to concentrate all these services right down an area where people come into the building. So we're very excited about it. It's nearly complete. I just was looking at it this morning. It's going to just be a wonderful resource to everyone that's coming to our facility for help.
Where is that facility, by the way?
It's actually at 3003 South Country Club. So we're between Ajo and 36th Street.
Gotcha.
In the couple of minutes we have left before we go to break, I can donate food, I can donate money, but what if I want to donate my time? How do I volunteer?
Well, you just come on down, Dom. I can take you over there after the show if you want. It's
sounds
a very
like a plan.
we don't take children under 16 because it is a functioning warehouse with forklifts and all kinds of things where people could get injured, and so we want to limit the scope of that. But we have just a great group of volunteers. Last year, we had 154,000 hours donated to us by people here in the community, and that was up from 120,000 the year before. We use volunteers in pretty much everything that we do. So anyone that wants to come down, volunteer their time, which we consider, you know, pretty precious to be able to do that, we can find a job where you can help us in the fight against hunger.
Okay. Well, our guest is CEO and Executive Director of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Bill Carnegie. We're grilling him.
Yes.
with Jimmy Bogle, who's also here to help me ask some questions. Jimmy's the editor of the Tucson Weekly.
Well, I know we're coming up against the break, but really quickly, just tell us a really quick highlight, another highlight from Hunger Action Month.
Well, we're doing something really fun with the loft. It's beginning on the 16th, Friday the 16th, is we're doing a canned film festival. You know, so you take a can of food. They're showing, you know, food movies, and it's just going to be great fun. You're not going to get a discount for bringing a canned good in, but you're going to help, you know, feed a hungry family, and you're going to get to see some movies about food. So it's kind of a fun, different event for us.
And they're showing Farmageddon. That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, so I'm going to be going, and we'll see. Our organization is also involved in farming, so hopefully it has a little something to do with us.
Okay, Jimmy Bogle, and I will be back to talk to Community Food Bank Executive Director Bill Carnegie after this.
Piro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Piro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Piro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at piroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Welcome back to Friday Focus with our newsmaker, CEO, and executive director of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Bill Carnegie. I'm Tom Collier, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. And joining me to ask questions, which I'm sure are intelligent and erudite, is Jimmy Bogle, who is the editor of Tucson Weekly. Must reading in Tucson if you think you know what's going on in this town, in this state, in this city. So we discussed in the previous segment where you're going with the increased demand and actually had to cut your ability to meet that demand. You had double the demand, but you've had to cut your ability in half. If I were a person who knows that next week I'm not going to have any food in my cupboard, what's the process? How do I come to? Do I have to register? Do I have to get a card? Do I have to prove to you that I don't have any food for my children? What's the process?
Tom, it's really easy. Anyone can come to the community food bank or go to our website to find a location that's close to their home. All you have to do is go and have a picture ID that or a utility bill that proves that you reside in the state of Arizona. And we'll put you in our system. We'll give you a little card. So the next time you come back, you don't have to do any of that. You just scan this little card, and we give you a box of food and send you on your way. What we've done is we've tried to eliminate all the barriers to food. Someone coming and having to stand in line with their family or, we see it especially with senior citizens that where it's just demoralizing to have to come and stand in line and ask for a box of food. I always get the question, well, you just give food to anyone or, unless people really need food, they're not going to come stand in those lines. And we're trying to be as respectful as we possibly can and do the best that we can to help them through this time.
So this is Hunger Action Month, and there's all sorts of really cool events. Like tomorrow, the thing on the calendar is to go visit the El Pueblo Farmers Market, which I believe the food bank actually helps put on. Mm-hmm. And that's at the southwest corner of Irvington Road and 6th Avenue from 8 till noon. But what are the goals for Hunger Action Month? I mean, is there a goal? Do you want to raise a certain amount of money? What is the purpose other than putting on these events of the month?
Well, Jimmy, it's a national Hunger Action Month, so we're involved with food banks all across the country. And our real effort here is to raise awareness of hunger and let people know that it is a significant problem in, not just here but communities across the United States. So it's really, we came up with these calendars. Every food bank across the country has got a 30 ways and 30 days calendar. And, so someone can, in whatever community you live in, you can go and do something about hunger this month or teach your children about hunger. Hunger is really hidden. We have neighbors that we all have that, and you just don't know if they're hungry. You might know that somebody lost their job or they were getting unemployment. You don't know if their unemployment benefits have run out. You don't know if they've been dropped off insurance, if they can't afford COBRA. We just have some really significant problems here and a lot of people in need.
And I know the holidays are coming up too, and tell us kind of how things change for the food bank over the holidays, because, you know, it sounds like Christmas is far away, but no, it's September 2nd now, and in any moment we're going to be seeing the holiday stuff in the stores. If we're not seeing it already, God help us all. But how does it change for the food bank during the holidays?
Well, really, we start planning in the spring for the holidays. We look for, you know, we spend about $3 million a year to purchase different kinds of foods that we don't have donated. So we start to look early for those holiday items that might be on special to order them to have them in stock. We also get calls from groups about wanting to volunteer. Our volunteer schedule is already booked through January. So if there's groups out there that want to come down and volunteer, they're not going to be able to. We're not going to be able to accommodate them.
How about individuals?
Individuals can come anytime, and you know we always find places for them. We also have locations in, even though this is off topic a little bit, we have locations in Marana, Green Valley, Amado, Ajo, and down in Nogales. So there's different places that people, you know, depending on where you live, you can go and volunteer. But the holidays is really a significant time for us. You know, there's, you know, certainly people focus on donating, you know, whether it's food or money during that time. They also want to volunteer. You know, their kids are home from college over Thanksgiving break, and they want to bring them down and have them, you know, really experience this. And it's really an incredibly busy time for us. And all our food box numbers go up by about 10,000 a month just because it does. And it's
any idea why? Is it just because there's increased awareness, or is there increased demand over the holidays, or why do you think that is?
Well, there is increased demand because we have of our 300 partners, quite a few of them, you know, target families that they want to help over the holidays, so they'll order additional boxes, or they'll be trying to get additional foods from us to supplement those boxes to make them bigger, better for the holidays. So it's it just puts a lot of increased demand on us, and we actually hire some seasonal staff to keep up with that.
Jimmy earlier talked about what's actually in a food box when you get it. I have a question. I know people, I have friends who have never turned on a stove burner in their life. Mm-hmm. What do you do when somebody says, and they get a 10-pound sack of flour or a 5-pound sack of flour, and they say, what am I supposed to do with this?
Well, we actually work quite closely with the Extension Service here in Southern Arizona. So we have people at the food bank a couple of days a week that are actually preparing the types of foods that we're distributing. So, you know, we give recipes, and we talk, especially if we got, you know, some new kind of product that, you know, people aren't used to here. We'll give them instructions about how to cook it, what different meals it would be good to use with, and you know, just we do what we can.
Well, anybody at Cooperative Extension will tell you that home-cooked meals made with ingredients are more nutritious and have higher, I believe, what's the word, calorie density, nutritional calorie density than prepared foods. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the stuff that you get donated is prepared foods, right?
Well, yes and no. We get about 10 million pounds of produce donated a year through our facility down in Nogales, and all different kinds of produce, things that, you know, are not familiar to a lot of people here in Southern Arizona. We also, you know, we operate our own farm, so we grow things, but we do get a lot of product in bulk. A lot of things come from the USDA in bulk that we have a partnership with the LDS Church here in town that will repack things for us. So we try and not put out items in too big of packages, maybe 1 or 2 pound be the biggest. And we also include food box or recipes in those food boxes to help people as well.
Give us an example of a recipe that someone could use that you'd find in a food box.
Well, we get tepri beans from the Tahano Odom Nation. Or it might be
good stuff.
It might be Pascoyaki, but a lot of people aren't familiar with how to prepare tepri beans or what you can use them in. They're very high in protein, great beans. So most recently was a recipe about, you know, the different ways that you could use tepri beans.
We're interested in your participation in our conversation with Mr. Carnegie, too. If you'd like to call in, you can call in at 790-2040 or toll-free at 1-866-725-5467. If you'd like to talk to Mr. Carnegie, if you have a question for Mr. Carnegie. So,
I want to follow up on a question that Tom had earlier. If I need help, if I'm hungry this weekend and it's coming up, You said just come on down with an ID. Where do I go? Who do I call? What website do I go to? How do I get to that information?
Well, you can go to communityfoodbank.org, and we have a listing of different places you can go there, or you can call the food bank at 622-0525. A lot of people don't have web access. And we'll give you the location of a pantry that's close to your home. We try to, you know, not make people have to travel too far. And also, all across Southern Arizona, we have different days where we're in different cities at different times to distribute food, and all of that information is available on our website as well.
Very cool. And if people want more information on Hunger Action Month as well, they can get that at the website as well?
Then go to the website. It's right in one of those little rotating things, I don't know what you call them, across our front page, and just click on it, and they can see the calendar, and there's some, you know, some different things that you can do. We're asking, like on the 27th, people to donate $10. Go online, donate $10, and help us distribute $100 worth of food that day.
But a lot of great information on here as well. Like I see on the 29th, you can get into Oktoberfest at High Corbett free with a can of food, which that's actually pretty cool. There's a lot of good information here.
Right, right. Well, you know, we try to link ourselves with different community events, and it's actually taken several months to put this calendar together to create the partnerships.
Well, excellent.
Our guest is the CEO and Executive Director of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Bill Carnegie. Southern Arizona has covered a lot of territory now, sort of expanded. It's not just Tucson anymore.
Right. So, and for us, it's 23,000 square miles, all of Pima, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Graham, and Greenlee counties.
So we really want to thank you. If you want to help, go to the food bank website. You can call in information. And Bill Carnegie, again, thank you so much. We wish you the best in dealing with this crisis problem in Southern Arizona.
Tom and Jimmy, thank you so much for today.
Our pleasure.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. A federal judge says Roger Clemens can be retried on perjury charges. U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton rejected Clemens' request to throw out perjury charges against him, and he says if Clemens wants to appeal, he'll need to ask for an expedited request. Tropical storm Lee's formed in the Gulf and threatens parts of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama with up to 20 inches of rain. The storm has also cut Gulf oil production in half. Stocks have been lower since the opening bell today in reaction to an unemployment report that raises new fears of another recession. The government says no new jobs were created last month. A Florida judge considering whether Casey Anthony should pay the cost of the investigation into the disappearance of her 2-year-old daughter. Anthony was acquitted on murder charges but was convicted on 4 counts of lying to authorities. More details at srnnews.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics, created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network over Southern Arizona's most powerful talk station. I'm Tom Collier, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who is on vacation, and he returns on Tuesday, and we have a holiday on Monday. Each Friday, about 12:35, we present the Friday Reporters Roundtable, featuring local journalists who are sounding off. You guys get that? You're supposed to sound off on the week's top stories.
I'm not sure what that means, but we'll try.
Today, I'm going to go grab the megaphone.
Joining me on the Friday Roundtable are Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly, Must Read in Tucson.
You're too kind.
And Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Great website. Really
thank you,
comprehensive.
Great
and we welcome
back.
You to join the conversation with us. If you want to talk to these two guys who are in the know about what's going on in Tucson and Pima County and the state and the nation and the world and the universe and just anywhere, you can join us by calling in on our live line at 790-2040. The Friday Reporters Roundtable is brought to you by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at splendidoaz.net. Okay, guys, what's the burning issue?
The burning issue? Well, the sort of non-burning issue of the week was our election, the primary election on
Tuesday.
Oh, yeah,
Tuesday. We had one of those, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Some say we did.
A lot of people got this thing in the mail and looked and it had one or zero choices on it and thought, what in the heck do we do with this? And I was in the same boat. I got a ballot and it was just fill in a blank or don't do anything with it. And however, turnout was up because of the mail-in voting. And looks like we might actually have a mayor's race on our hands. Maybe.
Something to actually write about for once.
Yes. Rick Grinnell versus Jonathan Rothschild. Although there are rumors out there that there are certain people trying to get Grinnell kicked off the ballot. So we have to say we tentatively have a mayor's race and we'll see how that goes.
That really was the only issue of the election was whether Grinnell would get the 1,060 write-in votes that he needed to get on the ballot after the Republicans couldn't actually have a candidate's name listed on the ballot.
Are you dissing Joe Flores? Are you saying that wasn't an issue over there?
No, that wasn't much of a race. You know, the 75% going to Raheena Romero, that's pretty kind of an open and shut case there.
What do you
Ward
think
one.
About the fact that the Democrats so heavily supported Raheena Romero in that race and Joe Flores was trying to raise a stink saying that wasn't fair, it wasn't right? What do you think about it?
Personally, you know, I don't try and get inject my personality into politics.
This is
much,
an interview-driven talk.
You've got to be friendly with everybody, but you know, in one sense, you don't want to have a race decided before the voters can actually hear people out and hear what they have to say. In another sense, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that Romero was going to take that race, mm-hmm. regardless of whether the Democrats jumped in or not. So did it really make a difference in the long run? Probably not.
Dang, I agree with you. I was hoping we could,
Duke it out. It's a wide table here, though.
We
have Jimmy Bogle of the Tucson Weekly and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com on our Reporters Roundtable. Is there a love-hate relationship with the mail ballot now, with the mail-in ballot for the Republicans now? I mean, Grinnell really couldn't have gotten the signatures that he got without mail-in ballots,
The process certainly ended up playing into the Republicans' hands. They were when the city council pushed it through earlier this year, the Democrats were all in favor of it and got it through the council, and the Republicans were jumping up and down saying it would result in voter fraud and it was a terrible idea and we needed to have polling places open on Election Day. And if we had gone with an old-fashioned system where the majority of people were voting at the polls on Election Day, it's pretty doubtful that Grinnell would have received the number of votes that he got. He got, you know, 5,700 some odd votes. He may have gotten 1,060 on an old-fashioned write-in process.
And turnout's really important when it comes to a write-in race. I mean, you need a lot of people to get there to make sure you have enough. I mean, we learned with the whole signature debacle with the Republicans and the independent Pat Darcy starting off this election that you need to go over that amount to make sure it's appropriate.
And
the same thing goes to a lesser extent with write-in votes, but, you know, it absolutely worked in their favor.
Standard political savvy to get more signatures than the actual statutory requirement.
And I think that statement says a lot about the quality of the candidates we had early in this race.
Well,
no offense to them, but that's just a no-brainer. You've got to make sure we're rehashing old stuff here, but you've got to make sure you've got enough signatures to stay on the ballot and get on the ballot, and they just didn't do it.
It really is the first small hurdle you need.
Yeah, I want my mayor or city council person to be able to get enough signatures to make the ballot. I mean, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. You need to have that much competence, in my opinion.
It's hard to watch people raise their eyebrows on the radio, but sometimes that happens. I want to ask a question about where we are. What is it with Tucson's "want me worry" attitude about money? I'm talking about the Parkwise situation and all that money into the parking meters that seems to have disappeared. And what's the solution? What's the answer? How do you begin to address something like that?
Well, there seems to be a bit of a long-standing problem in the city of Tucson with some of the divisions and departments sort of acting as very much independent agencies without a whole lot of supervision from the mayor and council, from the city manager. They just sort of, in essence, run themselves. And maybe if you've got a great department that's running itself and it doesn't need a whole lot of help or observation, maybe that's a good thing. But
we
keep running into problems with Parkwise, with going back a few years with the real estate department and all the troubles that were going on there.
How did that develop? What's the precedent for that? Why is that the case right now?
Well, I think, you know, if something seems okay and there, you know, nobody's blowing the whistle on a problem, things just sort of chug along.
I think it goes down to a lack of leadership. I mean, I've been railing in the weekly for years about the fact that we don't have a strong city leader now. I mean, think about just, we'll say, downtown, and of course the Parkwise meter situation falls into that. If someone asked you, take me to the leader of Tucson, of downtown Tucson, who are you going to go to? Bob Walkup, well, he's a nice guy, but even, you know, he's a weak mayor system. I'm not saying he's a weak mayor necessarily. I could say that, but
systematically, he doesn't have a whole lot of power.
So then it goes to the city manager. Well, there's kind of a problem there because the city manager takes the direction, in theory, from the mayor and council. But over the years, we've had virtually no leader. I mean, seriously, stop and think about it. Who would you answer that question? Who would you take? Who would be the leader you would take him to? I mean, probably the person I'd come up with would be Fletcher McClusker, I can't say that name right, of the Providence Institute, who's helped get things going with Second Saturdays downtown and has been a big booster. And he's not even in the political field. And yet he seems like people like him and small groups of businesses are getting more done downtown than our leaders have managed to over the years.
Well, you hear these calls for accountability, and they go all the way back to Rio Nuevo and its predecessor and its predecessor and its predecessor and its predecessor. Who do you hold accountable?
Well, when you're losing this much money from parking meters,
one knows. No one knows how much money. Could be $90.
No one knows. And
could
that's,
be 90,000.
That's part of the
no
big problem is they weren't keeping track because that system failed. And it ultimately comes down to the elected leaders and the people who answer to them. And so, you know, as much as I like Mike Letcher as a person, he's a great guy, you know, it's got to – you know, Letcher's got to take the fall for this. He's the boss. And, you know, the people who he answers to are, you know, they're making rumblings about looking into that and maybe a change could be coming. Who knows? But that's ultimately who you have to look at. I mean, who else is there to look at? Who are you going to blame?
Well, is there something fundamentally wrong with how our local system of government is set up that these sorts of things keep happening?
You talk to the business community, they say, yeah.
I mean, is it a personality issue or is it, you know, something that we can fix by changing how our government works?
Well, something needs to change. I think we can all agree on that. And, you know, there's – I don't know how much change is coming to the city council this year. We'll definitely have a new mayor. We know that much. But otherwise, it might be a lot of – actually, it looks like it's going to be a lot of same old, unless some of these Republicans can pull off a citywide upset. Who knows?
Let me switch gears here a little bit. Dylan, the number one article on the TucsonSentinel.com this morning, at least, was John McCain saying, no, I didn't. when the WikiLeaks cable says, yes, you did.
The WikiLeaks cable says, yes, he did. His own statement of 2 years ago said, yes, he did. You know, there's a video of John McCain saying that 2 years ago when he was in Libya, that he was there to offer Muammar Gaddafi non-lethal military aid. So after this last week, WikiLeaks released a cable from the State Department outlining how the meetings occurred 2 years ago. That was after McCain a couple weeks ago said that we didn't apply our air power enough in Libya and we should have taken Gaddafi down faster. So I asked him on when he was here for a town hall on Tuesday if that was true. You know, is the cable true? Did this happen? And he totally denied it. He said that never happened.
And then there's the evidence. So,
well, he's on, you know, he's on video 2 years ago saying, yes, this is what we did. Now he's on video Tuesday saying that never happened.
Well, at least he didn't charge you $15 to get into the town hall, which is what a lot of Republicans around the country
are
doing.
In the last
town
hall, they wouldn't even let Jim Nintzel in because Jim Nintzel didn't – Dylan always wears this press badge. If those of you that know Dylan Smith, he always wears a press badge around it. That's the first time –
Hold it up to the microphone so that people can see it.
Well, I'm shaking it. They can hear it.
That's the first time literally that I can think of in 8.5 years of being at the Tucson Weekly that one of our reporters wasn't let into something because they didn't have a press badge. But because Jim Nintzel got there and all he had was his business card and he didn't have a press badge like Dylan diligently wears, they wouldn't let Jim Nintzel in. So, hey, at least you got in. That's a good thing.
Well, okay. That disposes of that topic. Jan Brewer wants us to be early in the primary and be influential.
Well, everybody wants to be early in the primary season and yep. the presidential primaries and be influential.
I mean, pretty soon the primaries are going to be happening 18 months before the election if this keeps up because every state wants to have that influence. And I actually saw it firsthand. I used to live in Nevada, and they moved their primary earlier. It used to be one of the later primaries, and they moved it earlier because, you know, you might have heard of this guy by the name of Harry Reid, has a little bit of power over in the Senate, and they moved their primary. And I'm sorry?
Who again?
Yeah, I don't know. But sure enough – it got a lot of politicians banging through Nevada during the last presidential election. And it's not a dumb thing for Jan Brewer to want, you know, because, you know, you get more attention, you get more politicians coming here, you get more people active. And especially in a Republican state, you know, it makes sense. The problem is every state wants to do this. And eventually we're just going to have this ridiculous system where all the primaries happen right away. And so
– Well, look what happened last time around with the Democratic primary season. It was the later primaries that were just as influential as the early ones because the race wasn't decided yet.
That's exactly it. And given the Republican field now, you know, it's – I mean, it's hard to predict the future, but it's possible that that same thing could happen with the Republican field this year. There really is no clear front runner. I mean, 1 week it's Mitt Romney. Now Rick Perry jumped in, and then Michelle Bachmann gets a boost from this meaningless Iowa thing. And who knows what's going to happen with it? It might be the early ones that really influence it.
There's something to be said for being able to sort of wait and see how a race is playing out and see how somebody is actually running their campaign and what they're ending up standing for
Absolutely.
Towards the end.
Absolutely.
I notice as we're talking dysfunctional city politics over in Quartzsite, the mayor of Quartzsite was recalled. We've got the Russell Pierce recall election going on. Any developments that you have seen there in that?
I think this is all just sort of indicative of hard times. When times get hard, when people's pocketbooks are emptying out and they're worried about, you know, they sit around their kitchen table and worry about how they're going to pay their bills, they start to get mad at the people who are running things. And, you know, here locally, we've got a city council and a mayor that people are kind of getting mad at. You know, in our state,
we've got a
governor and a legislature that people are starting to get mad at.
There's a concept. If I had a job, I'd have to go to work and I couldn't get mad at the politicians.
And we're saying the same thing around the country as well. It's a fact that people want – they like services. They like the services that government gives out, but they don't necessarily like taxes. Well, when times get tough, those services start to get cut. We've seen it with Arizona with access. We've seen it with unemployment benefits and the refusal of the legislature to extend them to help some people out. So people out there are very upset, and I think you're starting to see that not just in Arizona but around the country. And this is going to be a very interesting election season, not necessarily here in Arizona, although we have the Russell Pierce thing and maybe possibly some city races that might you know come to fruition. But next year is going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out, not only in the presidential race but in the congressional races, which are as a whole just as important.
Well, we have to see how we're redistricted, if that's a word, how the redistricting turns out.
And even that has become ridiculously controversial, with the Republicans not liking the makeup of the Independent Redistricting Commission.
Even though there's plenty of Republicans on that commission as well.
Yep.
It's evenly divided, but somehow they don't like it.
Jimmy Bogle with the Tucson Weekly and Dylan Smith with TucsonSentinel.com on the Friday Roundtable. So in the couple of minutes that we have left, what's on the top of your mind that we haven't discussed?
I think we pretty much hit this week. What's coming up next week, Jimmy?
Oh, I don't know. There's lots of stuff coming up. I love the fall in Tucson because there's so many events and stuff coming up. You know, summer's kind of, even though it's not as good as it used to be, summer there's a little bit of lull in terms of music and in terms of arts and in terms of events. Whereas, you know, September, our arts calendar, both, you know, Dylan's seen it at TucsonSentinel.com, and we've seen it in the weekly. There's a ton of stuff going on.
Well, and we've got things kick off tonight. The HoCo Fest.
Yep, you got the HoCo Fest, which is just an amazing, amazing bunch of stuff. I don't think I can't think off the top of my head of a better group of bands for a relatively cheap price that I've seen on Sunday at HoCo Fest on Hotel Congress. You've got Dvochka, you've got Sergio Mendoza y la Orquesta, and it's only like $10 in advance, $15 at the door. I think that's the price. Check out the weekly or TucsonSentinel.com to verify that. But not only that, it goes towards a good cause. Both the Star and the weekly had features on a guy by the name of Craig Schumacher, who runs Wave Lab Studio. Great guy around town, and it was really recorded some fantastic albums by a lot of great artists here. And he's been battling throat cancer and going through some really bad times. And they're actually have turned HoCo Fest into a fundraiser for him. So not only is it a great lineup, it's a great cause as well.
And
so,
he's the guy behind all of the great music that comes out of this town.
He is. I mean, he's partially responsible for creating that quote-unquote Tucson sound that Calexico gets credit for and a lot of other people do. It's actually, in many ways, Craig Schumacher.
Good to hear. Jimmy Bogle from the Tucson Weekly and Dylan Smith of the TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks for joining us on the Reporters Roundtable. I'm Tom Collier, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and we will be back. We started to get into Matt Russell's turf, and I hope he's out there willing to give us a call about what to do this weekend. But thanks for the suggestions, Jimmy and Dylan both, and we'll be back.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
That music signals the official start of the weekend on the Buckmaster Show, and I'm Tom Collier, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, here to welcome Matt Russell for his Weekend Watch. Matt's a Tucson publicist and a dedicated foodie about town. He's the man Bill Buckmaster calls the culinary cruiser. Matt, you've got competition in here. Jimmy and Dylan have stuck around, so if you can't tell us what we need to do, we're bored. What's there to do in this town this weekend?
You know, normally Jimmy and Dylan don't travel together for national security purposes, so to have them actually under the same roof at the same time, this is an historic moment on the Buckmaster Show, Tom.
You weren't supposed to say that. You've blown our cover.
Well, we're at an undisclosed location.
We'll take a picture. So.
Anyway, we got some great things lined up for all of your listeners, Tom. And let me just say, what a great job you're doing on this show. You know, Bill better watch his back, because the Tom Collier Show perhaps is the next new exciting program on The Voice.
Oh, but no, he'll come back and rake the debris together and put it.
Anyway, coming up just in a couple of hours, Tom, Friday, as we celebrate the return of a winning season for the U of A Wildcat football team. Bear Down Friday is tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Right down there in Main Gate Square, which, as you know, is right on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid. Beginning at 5 o'clock tonight, there's going to be live music by a favorite band of mine, the local blues band Crosscut Saw, is going to be jamming out the tunes. There's going to be a great pep rally with the U of A pep band. There's going to be some great food and drink specials across all of the restaurants and bars and lounges across Main Gate. Bear Down Friday tonight from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
That covers quite a bit of territory, Main Gate Square. That's a lot of restaurants, a lot of bars, a lot of opportunity.
Exactly. You talk about two blocks, over 50 restaurants, bars, salons, shopping opportunities. It's one of our favorite places to hang out on the weekends. Then coming up on Saturday, since you didn't get a chance to see the fireworks on July 4th, and I'm still holding a little bit of bitterness because that happens to be my birthday, Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort is going to make up for it to start the Labor Day celebration in fine style. Saturday, beginning at 7:30 at night, the Sparkle and Pop Party. You're going to have the chance to sample a range of sparkling wines paired up with some very creative desserts, and then following that, you're going to get great views, majestic views of the fireworks show, and that's all going to be available for your listeners for only $20, and if they want to make a night of it, they can get some great rates on rooms for that evening. Again, the Sparkle and Pop Party at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort on Saturday.
Sounds like something to watch and something to do. Sparkle and pop.
I love it. I love it. And then on Sunday, actually, this is happening all weekend, in fact, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., the Tucson Originals 2011 Pick of the Week. As you know, all of the great local independent restaurants in Tucson, members of the Tucson Originals, they all join together and offer great specials all summer long for only $20.11. And my pick of the week, Tom, is my good friend Chef Doug Levy over at Feast is giving your listeners the chance to enjoy two glasses of wine paired alongside two appetizers at the bar during happy hour. That's from 4 to 7 p.m. for only $20.11, and of course that's over at 3719 East Speedway. Chef Doug Levy and Feast always do a great job.
Cool. And on Monday, Labor Day, is there anything to do, or do you recommend we simply use that to recuperate?
I would strongly suggest the latter, Tom. I mean, with all the great food and beverage and everything happened at HoCo downtown, I mean, you're going to need some time to get your faculties about you before you begin the work week on Tuesday morning.
Okay. Any other suggestions from me or ideas from Mr. Dillon or Mr. Jimmy?
Well, there's just a ton of stuff going on. I mean, you know, Matt summed up a lot of the great stuff in HoCo Fest. I mean, this is really truly the rebirth of Tucson, not for the slow summer times. Tons of stuff going on.
Super. I always like to, Labor Day, hit the park, drag out the barbecue, do it old style.
Yeah, barbecue is great. As a matter of fact, I'll be flying to Reno, Nevada tomorrow. I've been selected as one of the judges for the nation's largest barbecue rib competition. There's going to be 500,000 people there and 200,000 pounds of ribs, so I've got my work cut out for me this Labor Day weekend.
That's my hometown. You're a lucky dog, dude. That's a great
Indeed.
Gig.
Let the games begin, boys.
All right. Thanks, Matt Russell. Always informative, always great suggestions, and a great way to spend some time in Tucson. Thanks.
Have a great weekend.
Friday Focus and the Friday Roundtable are presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more in Arizona at SplendidoAZ.net. And the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants. They're located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at FlowersRieger.com. Flowers Rieger is the CPA firm for the Buckmaster Show. Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, our producer Rosemary Brandt, and the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who will return on Tuesday, I'm Tom Collier, wishing you a wonderful and a safe Labor Day weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.